Hi, I'm Evan.
And I'm Laurel.
You're listening to episode 100 of Our Dad,
Pharmacy Joe!
There is no evidence for today's show. It is opinion only. You can find the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode100.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 100. In this episode, I'll discuss my ICU workflow as a critical care pharmacist, and I'll also share how I orient PGY1 pharmacy residents to my critical care pharmacy rotation. Before we get to the episode, I want to ask you to take part in my 2016 audience survey. In order to find out more about the audience for the Elective Rotation podcast, I've created a brief 7-question survey. It's completely anonymous. I will use the results to improve the podcast and better serve you throughout the next 100 episodes. I'm amazed at the response so far. Over 140 audience members have taken the survey already in the first few hours since I've emailed it out. If you didn't get my email, check your spam folder. Or if you're not on my email list yet, you can add your opinion at pharmacyjoe.com/survey. There's a basic workflow to the critical care pharmacy rotation, and I've captured it in a diagram using the tool Draw.io that I discussed in episode 99. And I have a picture of this workflow in the show notes, as well as an opportunity to download a PDF. Other than assigned projects, the tasks performed by students and residents on rotation come down to responding to medical emergencies, answering questions and solving pharmacotherapy-related problems, and getting ready for and participating in ICU rounds. And those are the three things that the workflow covers. One of the great things about having this podcast is I can have my residents and students listen to selected episodes before starting rotation with me. Face-to-face orientation time gets spent on in-depth discussions rather than just a review of the basics. This is ultimately better for patients because I spend less time getting the resident or student up to speed before we can get to work solving patient care problems. This is the orientation I use for PGY1 residents, but it can also be used for APPE pharmacy students. My rotation is much more intense and in-depth for a pharmacy resident than a student, but the general orientation points are the same. In addition to reviewing the rotation workflow that I discussed earlier with the resident, I have them listen to 4 previous podcast episodes. And these episodes I'll summarize in this post. I have also compiled them in one place at pharmacyjoe.com/rotation. Feel free to use that page in your orientation procedure as well. The 4 episodes cover verbal communication, patient assessment, getting ready for ICU rounds, and participating in ICU rounds. I covered verbal communication with providers in episode 9, which is titled How to Talk Like a Physician and Get a Physician to Listen Like a Pharmacist. I have residents use a tool called iSBAR to collect their thoughts and learn how to talk like a physician and get them to listen like a pharmacist. Now, iSBAR stands for Introduction, Situation, Background, Assessment, and Recommendation. And until it becomes second nature, the resident should literally sketch out the conversation before it happens using the iSBAR tool on paper. And for more detail on verbal communication, I have the resident listen to episode 9. Now, to help the resident begin to learn to make patient-focused risk-benefit assessments, I give them a basic explanation of why a patient might be in the ICU. Focusing on what exactly is requiring the patient to be in the ICU helps me identify and prioritize patient problems. From my point of view, in an open medical surgical ICU, there's 3 reasons for ICU admission. Number 1, One or more of a patient's vital organ systems has failed, and we need to support them. This could be respiratory failure from pneumonia or post-return of spontaneous circulation care for a cardiac arrest patient, or even hypotension requiring vasopressors from something like sepsis. The second reason for ICU admission would mean something has happened to the patient that places them at high risk of a vital organ system failing, and we want to immediately recognize and support it if and when that happens. So this could be a 24-hour watch on a patient who's received Alteplase for acute ischemic stroke, or it could be a patient who had a high-risk surgical procedure, or a patient with delirium tremens requiring high doses of benzos. And then the third reason is politics. The patient knows somebody, they're a VIP, Dr. So-and-so wants to keep them one more day, or there's some bed availability issue. Why in the world you would want to subject your VIP to the perils of ICU care any longer than absolutely necessary is beyond me. How would it look if the president died of C. diff or a cauda on the tail end of an unnecessary extension in their ICU stay? Not good. For more detail on making patient-focused risk-benefit assessments, I have the resident listen to episode 11. And I discussed my routine for evaluating new ICU patients in preparation for patient care rounds in episode 20. My five-step pre-rounding process is step one, read the history and physical, consult, and progress notes to determine who is the patient, why are they here. Step two, review the patient's home medications. Step three, review labs, cultures, and imaging reports. Step four, review the bedside flow sheet. Step five, review current medications. More details, including how long I spend pre-rounding on each patient and how I decide which patient to see first, are in episode 20. I've developed specific timing and methods for how I participate on IC rounds and how I present my recommendations. Many recommendations are presented directly on rounds, while some are presented outside of rounds using sticky notes. If a provider hasn't formally seen and written a note on the patient yet, I make sure to acknowledge that when delivering a recommendation. And understanding the goals of care for the patient is essential before providing a recommendation on rounds. I like to use a blind golf caddy analogy as a frame of reference. A caddy knows the ins and outs of when and how to use each club, just like the pharmacist should know the ins and outs of when and how to use each drug. But we can't always see the course clearly and need to clarify the goals of care first. I cover participation in ICU rounds in detail in episode 21. What do you consider essential pieces of orientation to your rotation? Drop a comment in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode100 or send an email to joe@pharmacyjoe.com and let me know. And please remember to add your opinion on the 2016 audience survey at pharmacyjoe.com/survey. A huge thank you to those of you that have already taken the survey. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.